Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined in the dugout by my pal Brian Svensson.
What's shaking?
Fingers crossed, we'll get a phone call from the bullpen in shortly. Chris Zook promising he will call in to chat. It is a windless Friday morning, a little muggy out there. But it is the long weekend, and excitement abounds for baseball all around. The All-Star game, we talked about the voting and the change to the voting procedures this year.
Right.
How they were kind of doing like the ballots, right? Like the it was like kind of predicated on these like primaries, like election season style primary, and then in like a second round of voting. Did you vote?
Yeah, I did. I voted a whole bunch of times. They actually made it incredibly easy to vote this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably voted for a bunch of players that I otherwise wouldn't have because of it. I don't know if you know this, but like they made it so that way if you Googled a player, the first thing that would come up during election season would just be like a single simple button to just click, and it would automatically vote for that. Like it would just vote for that player. So I sent out some votes for players I think I'm probably ashamed of. I mean, like I got some ones in there like that definitely deserved it. Obviously, like there's some votes for Austin Meadows, some votes for Max Muncy got floated around. There's some votes for a bunch of different Twinkies that got sent out. But like I'm a little bit ashamed that like. When you know, spending some nights watching some Jays games with my girlfriend, I did send out some votes for Eric Sogard. So, you know, that's Eric Sogard shouldn't be on the All-Star team. So here we go.
Is that just like because it's like, was there a category for a write-in for best player with glasses, something like that?
Oh, is he even the best player with glasses on the Jays? There's three players on the Jays with glasses, right? Him, Thornton, and Danny Jansen. So, like, you can't even make the argument he's the best player with glasses on the Jays.
I guess that's true, yeah. That's.
I think he's the only player that wears Ray-Bans while he plays, though.
There is that. yeah, you know, the write-in ballots, I mean, that's always a fun thing to kind of, like... Because I think we all have at least one player that we have, like, great affection for that... The vast majority of people like couldn't pick out of a lineup or like would give like no cares about, right?
Man, like, I love Trace Thompson.
Yeah,
I love Trace Thompson. Like that guy is my guy, but he sucks. So like,
what led you to Trace Thompson? Like, how did you end up?
He's
like,
Clay Thompson's brother.
Okay, so it's simply just
well, I mean, like that, and then like
Thompson
I don't know,
family.
Yeah, I just like the Thompson family, and he's Clay's brother, and I started kind of paying attention to him, and I like his swing; it's very smooth, and that's just kind of where we're at.
So, I mean, not necessarily like surprises in the old All-Star results. You know, we'll work our way around the diamond here and start at backstop. On the AL side, Gary Sanchez is the catcher, and
it's wrong.
It's okay. Hold on. So the final choices were Sanchez, McCann, and Chirinos, right?
Yeah, so
McCann got
47%
of the
starter.
You think so?
Yes, absolutely. Like 100%. Like 100% it should be McCann.
Okay, I'm curious to hear your argument for this, because this is actually the Yankee that I voted for.
Okay.
Much as it pained me to do so.
Don't get me wrong. Gary Sanchez has been very good. I just, like, McCann has been that much better. I think he's, like, almost doubling Sanchez in WAR right now, isn't he? So, like, that's crazy. And also, like, how many other Tigers are you going to put on the roster? Right? Yankees are going to make it across, like, a bunch of different places.
Well, McCann's on the White Sox, first of all.
Oh, sorry. But, yeah.
But, like, yeah, I mean, the question still begs, like,
how many White Sox are going to make it? Right? So not a lot.
I'm trying to find the WAR comparisons.
Well, because he's not qualified yet, right? That's the thing. Like, Sanchez is qualified, but if you go a minimum of 100 plate appearances, right? McCann's sitting there with 2.1 wins above replacement, and Gary Sanchez is 1.5. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, if there's going to be other Yankees on the team, right? How many White Sox are going to make it? So I think it should be McCann.
I mean, McCann, 33% of the vote, he might make that like a backup or be like the representative for the White Sox.
He'll probably be the representative for the White Sox. But I mean, like, you can make an argument that there should
but, like,
be.
Sanchez is second on his team only behind Edwin Encarnacion for homers in the AL and leads all catchers by more than like 5 home runs.
Defense matters, Mike.
for WAR, but for All-Star games, no. No one's like, man, this guy's a really great pitch framer. He should be an All-Star.
I care about pitch framing.
Okay, so
I
you
love it.
And like the 8 other people from the Effectively Wild fan group.
Okay, fine.
Who would vote for an All-Star based on pitch framing versus like offensive production.
Did you see there was that clip?
There's not, let's be honest, the umps aren't looking very closely at pitch framing during the All-Star game.
No, that's fair.
Right?
I mean, that's fair.
No one's like, man, you know what I really want to go see? Is a guy who can create outs.
Yeah, me, and I guess maybe Jeff Sullivan.
They don't have an outs derby. They have a home run derby.
Did you see that clip? There was that clip from the Braves-Cubs game the other day where Wilson Contreras didn't get the frame. It was Tyler Flowers at bat, and it was just like no better comparison. Flowers gets almost all of his value for being an incredible pitch framer, and Contreras is a horrible framer but a great bat. And so the ball was like, it was clearly a strike, and Contreras didn't frame it properly and didn't get the call, and Flowers like looked back and just like snickered. And I was like, yeah, that's my stuff right there. I don't know. When I'm watching a game and a guy gets framed up, it just makes me laugh and chuckle and go, that's great. I love that.
Well, Contreras voted the NL catcher for the second
he's
year
fantastic.
In a row.
He's fantastic.
So, I mean, here's the other thing about Gary Sanchez. So, you know, this is a team that's lost Aaron Judge and Giancarlo
Stanton.
This isn't
Stanton. Me saying that
they're
Gary
ostensible,
Sanchez is bad.
Like, they're 3-4 hitters, right? Like, their offensive output. He has already exceeded his home run total from 2018 at this point in 2019.
This is not me saying that Gary Sanchez is bad and undeserving of the All-Star game. This is me saying that McCann is just a little bit better. Okay. You know, that McCann is just a little bit better, and probably, like, how many White Sox are you going to put in the All-Star game?
If you look at the standings, any?
Yeah,
So the phone ringing, it was indeed the bullpen. Maybe our backup catcher who was warming up some pitchers has something to say about Gary Sanchez versus James.
Well, I was just wondering a second, was Brian talking about all the Blue Jays that were on the All-Star team that were announced?
No, listen, there's going to be
there's no joy in Mudville.
There's going to be a Blue Jay on the All-Star team. We all know it's going to be Vladdy, and that's going to be that.
No, that's fine. Okay, so Sanchez. So we're against Sanchez being on this team.
I don't think that
Sanchez shouldn't be in the All-Star game. I think McCann should be the starter.
Who should be the starter?
James
McCann from the White Sox.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
That's, I,
He's been a better catcher this year.
I mean, catcher's been just a dearth of just nothing this year. Like,
that's incorrect.
I mean, and everyone knows this. If you play fantasy, go find a catcher somewhere, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
there's no.
That's
like,
so incorrect.
Better to have zero. Like, okay, well, I mean, you could actually.
There's been so many good offensive catchers this year. Are you kidding me?
No. Tell me. Run them down.
Okay. Okay. So Grandel, Contreras, Real Muto, McCann, Vasquez, Sanchez have all been awesome. Okay.
I would say Vasquez would be a better one than McCann.
Tom Murphy has been really good for the Mariners. Okay.
Okay.
He's been really good. He's been really good for the Mariners, okay?
Anyway, it's also, well, we always, so they changed this year, right? The All-Star was a bit voting, but they also put a tweak in it. Am I correct about this?
Yeah, they changed it sort of the primaries and then the sort of secondary voting.
There are 20 catchers that are hitting above league average this year. That is the most ever in MLB history.
I will bet you the, like, 8 minutes that we spent debating this is probably more than anyone has spent debating
ever.
Catcher for All-Star game. Let's move around
catcher
the bases here. Let's tip
All-Star.
Our caps to Carlos Santana, who is starting first base in the American League. It is the first time he has been named an All-Star in his 10-year career.
And he'll be there. That's great. And it'll be in front of the hometown fans. So they got something to cheer for right away. I think that was a very good choice.
1,356 career games, the fifth most for any active player with no All-Star selections.
Wow.
Huh.
And he will be the first one from Cleveland to start the All-Star game in 20 years.
Wow.
Jim Thome in 1999.
The interesting thing about that is, we'll get to the NL, about how young that team is for the starters, right? And then you've got, like, Santana here, who's, you know, holding the old guard a bit there. I mean, it just shows about baseball's kind of, The cool thing about baseball is the perseverance about it. There was a story of, I believe, a catcher in Miami. I don't know the name off the top of my head, but saw that real quickly. It was a catcher came in, hadn't played. His last time was like a decade ago, right? And so baseball, it takes a longer time for gestation to kind of make it in the league, and it takes some time to be an all-star. So that's great for Carlos.
Freddie Freeman will start for the National League. He had the smallest margin of victory over any winner, beating out Josh Bell from the Pirates.
This one, Brian, we can argue on, because Josh Bell probably was the
I voted for Josh players. Bell myself.
They both deserve
I really
it.
Enjoyed the
Dude,
Pirates Josh Bell campaign.
Catchers for 8 minutes. I mean, Josh Bell, that is a phenomenal season he's had. And Freddie Freeman is just having another amazing season that he always has. But Josh Bell, I think, was just slightly better if you have to pick one.
Hotter take. I don't think either of them should be the starter.
Oh, okay.
Pete Alonso.
You think another Chicago?
Pete Alonso or Max Muncy are both better choices.
Okay, so Pete Alonso did not make it to the second ballot.
Which is
kind of ridiculous, but he's going to be in the futures game. He's a rookie who is having a phenomenal season, one of the few bright spots for a typically terrible Mets. We'll talk about the other bright spot.
You mean the meltdown last night?
No. See you tomorrow, Mickey.
You're jumping on things here. We're still working on the All-Star ballot. Freddie Freeman, he's a very solid player on a pretty solid team. But I personally thought Josh Bell, amongst the three that were on the second ballot, was the most deserving, and particularly as someone who hasn't been there before. Second base, DJ LeMahieu for the Yankees and Ketel Marte for the Diamondbacks.
Marte got hurt, right? So it won't be him.
So, yeah, no, he did, but he won the vote, right? This is
but
the thing.
He's had a phenomenal year. Like, I mean, if anyone got him early, like in fantasy, like congratulations, because I don't think anyone saw that coming. I mean, he's been there on the cusp of it, but definitely it was great that he got rewarded for a season as being a starter, even though he might not be able to play it.
And shout out to his teammates on the Arizona Diamondbacks, who in the social media push for votes all dressed in Ketel Marte's signature flashy style on the trip for the like last sort of road trip before the voting closed, that they all basically like tried to mimic Ketel Marte's style as like a, hey, pay attention to Kettle. Third base, Alex Bregman, who he played in his first career All-Star game last year. He was the game's MVP, but he was not the starter. He gets the start at third base this year for the Astros, and Nolan Arenado gets it for the National League. Sad day for your boy Josh Donaldson as a runner-up, I guess.
Is what it is.
It is what it is. Okay, I was wondering if we were going to have
Arenado,
any, like...
Again, that's what's just... He's just a solid player.
Mean,
those numbers like you can make...
There's been a case for it for a long time that you could argue that Arenado's the best third baseman
in baseball. Consecutive season at the All-Star Game, third straight start. First third baseman to do so since Scott Rolen in 2002, 3, and 4. Highest vote share of any finalist. In fact, got 51%, 51.9%, nearly 52% of all votes for
Nolan Arenado is really good.
He is
to the surprise
an unquestionable,
of nobody.
Like, yeah, no, I just wasn't sure if you would kind of try to bring a cold take on Josh Donaldson as a former Jay. Hat tip to Jorge Polanco, Twins shortstop.
I'm nuts about this.
I am very excited. I mean, obviously, no question, I am a Twins lover and voted for any Twin eligible for any position.
I voted for Jorge Polanco
multiple times, I will admit. Great to see. It was great.
When you
do the vote, and of course it's like tied to like your Gmail account or whatever, when the announcements came out, like I got like a push notification in my Gmail last night saying, congratulations, Jorge Polanco is in the All-Star game in thanks in part to you. And it was like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
That was like probably one of the happiest. I took a screenshot of that email. I was so
happy.
It
was your vote, Michael.
That was it.
That pushed him over.
That's what put it over.
I don't know if you heard this stat. The first Minnesota, I believe this is starter at shortstop since Roy Smalley.
I hadn't seen that.
I believe it was 84 is what I read this morning. And it brought a smile to my face because Roy Smalley, I don't think has been mentioned in about 30 years anywhere, right?
7 years before I was born.
So there you go.
He is the first Twins player to start an All-Star game since Joe Mauer in 2013.
Wow.
And he drew
the highest
share of an All-Star candidate from a single voting block and in getting 93% of the Minnesota market vote, which, I mean, there was 7% who didn't vote for it. This is like the person who, like, voted against Ken Griffey Jr. on the Hall of Fame ballot. Like, what are you doing if you're from Minnesota and you're voting against Jorge Polanco?
Yeah, that doesn't make
sense. You're not from Minnesota, probably. You're just there for now.
You're working
Can't
there.
Be a real,
you're originally
right.
from, like, Chicago or something.
Cannot be a real Minnesotan. That's just not Minnesota strong, no.
Javi Baez will start for the Cubs, beating out Trevor Story and Dansby Swanson. On the National League side. Now, I mean, in the world of no surprise, the number one vote getter on the American League outfield is Mike Trout.
Because he's the best player in baseball.
There's a rumor about that, yep.
The most votes of any finalist with just shy of a million. And this is his seventh All-Star game start. George Springer and Michael Brantley rounding out the outfield for the American League, two Astros. On the National League side, obviously a no-doubter, Christian Yelich from the Brewers, who followed up a MVP season with probably one of the hottest starts to the season.
I'm kind of sad he's fallen off the home run pace because I really wanted to see a chase, but it is what it is.
Well, 29 homers this year, he's still chasing 60, right? Obviously.
Yeah, he's still on pace for 60.
It's his first All-Star game start. Also, first All-Star game starts for Cody Bellinger and Ronald Acuña Jr.
So good. They're both incredible players.
That's an incredible outfield, that those three. And, like, young.
Yeah, and that was the thing. The youngness of this, right, is crazy. Arenado and Freeman are the oldest players, I believe, at 28 and 29. Just think about that. That's the oldest players of the NL starters, right? It's just fantastic. There's the young generation that we've been talking about for a bit. Now they're there, right? And they're being recognized as starting all-stars.
You know who would have lifted that average age is Nick Markakis, who was a runner-up on the voting for Atlanta. DH Hunter Pence for the Rangers.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
It would be his first All-Star game start, although he went to the injured list June 17th with a right groin strain. Runners-up, J.D. Martinez and Nelson Cruz. I obviously voted for Nelson Cruz as a Minnesota fan, but J.D. Martinez, I mean, to me, is like I think this, the, you know, Astros coming off of these successful seasons are getting more votes from people who wouldn't necessarily.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's some, like, as exhaustion as, with, like, Red Sox and Yankees if you're voting AL All-Stars.
With JD Martinez, I don't vote for him just because I think he's not a nice human being. I think that's pretty much it for me.
Okay.
But you know the great story about Hunter Pence is that he got signed on in a minor league contract mm-hmm. to start the year, right? So, I mean, again, another great story of someone who, you know, bet on himself. Thought, you know, that he could turn it around this year, and look where he's at now. Now he's going to be an all-star this year. So, I mean, I feel baseball is a bit more unique, that even though it's skewing much more younger, that there's still a place for players who, you know, can persevere a bit and have some experience that they can show it on the diamond.
Yeah, he hit a dismal 226, 258, 332 for the Giants last season, which, of course, led to that minor league contract with Texas. This year, career highs in slugging at 608 and OPS at 962, along with 15 home runs, his most since 2014. It would be great if he's well enough from the IL stint to come back and make this, because this would be his first All-Star game start as well.
Wow.
Cool.
And dude's been around for quite a while. So that is your whole trip around the horn on the old All-Star game ballot lineup. Of course, you know, we'll talk, you know, home run derby and stuff like that as we get closer to the Midsummer Classic, July 9th. But I know Brian is chomping at the bit to discuss that Mets thing that Zook was alluding to earlier.
Yeah, there have been reports throughout the season that Mickey Callaway doesn't actually get to manage his own team, that Brody Van Wagenen gets to, he like calls in from his office or the clubhouse to make decisions, and that one of the hard and steadfast rules of this is that their all-world closer Diaz, that Callaway's not allowed to use him for more than an inning. So the Mets blow a game by using Seth Lugo for two innings straight. He gives up a bunch of hits and runs in the eighth, and the Mets end up losing. And in the post-game press conference, or whatever you want to call it, huddle, media scrum, you know, a reporter asked Callaway, you know, are you allowed to use, like, why didn't Diaz come out? Are you not allowed to use him? And you could tell that seemed to irritate Callaway, like, at least a little bit, but he didn't say anything about it. Scrum finishes up, and pretty respected beat reporter Tim Healy, on his way out, says, "See you tomorrow, Mickey." And Mickey Callaway loses it, swears a bunch, calls Tim Healy a bunch of names, and kicks him out of the clubhouse. And when Tim responds to it, Jason Vargas, pitcher for the Mets, comes up and says something to the effect of, "I will beat you up, bro." And takes a very threatening step towards Tim Healy. And how both of these guys haven't been let go in some way, shape, or form is absolutely astounding to me. Unconscionable. Neither of these guys should be part of the New York Mets organization at this point in time.
And not only that, but then the follow-up again is the classic non-apology.
His apology was saying that, like, Billy Martin punched people, and therefore, in comparison, Mickey Callaway is a good manager.
Yeah. And Callaway actually had to apologize twice, but didn't really apologize twice. He went to the media once, then came back 2 hours later to kind of correct it a bit, but still really
didn't really apologize again.
I mean, we've talked about this endlessly, about this. How hard is it to just say, "I was in the wrong, I shouldn't have done that"?
How hard is it to not threaten a beat reporter in the first place?
Well, like, that's sure, fair enough. I mean, we can go to that, but I'm just saying, then own it, right? Then own what you did.
I made a mistake. I was angry. We had a bad game. We just blew it. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. It doesn't seem that difficult to me. Yeah, I agree with you.
It really doesn't, but we are in an age of many people around the world have problems, it seems like, to say that. And then what happens is that the Mets are just continually go spiraling down here.
It doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense what they're doing there, right? And then all you've done is you've just lit a fire that you think the coverage was bad already.
Well, the juxtaposition between the two New York teams is remarkable. Like, as much as I hate the Yankees, they are a tightly run ship, a well-run ball club, and there's no dissent from anybody, right? Like, they know exactly what they're doing, when they're doing it, how to behave, how to act. And even though, you know, there are some problems here or there, it's the Yankees, right? And you know that they're going to be professional all the way down. And in the Mets, everything that happens is just a cacophony of disaster after disaster. It's remarkable to watch.
Yeah, so Callaway referencing Billy Martin and the fact that, like, you know, this isn't the worst thing that's happened to a reporter. It's like, it was wrong when Billy Martin did it.
Of all the managers, right? Like, Earl Weaver was crotchety. You know, Lou Piniella was crotchety. Billy Martin was a Hall of Fame a-hole. Like,
and it's, you know, it's assault, which,
yes,
is a crime.
It is.
And a threatening assault, also a crime.
Yes, it is.
The fact that, like, he got the chance to come out and make two non-apologies, got fined $10,000, and really seems to be
should not be the manager, like, of the New York Mets.
It's, first of all, like, there's irrefutable proof of this.
I'm going to quote Meg Rowley here, but, like, this is a workplace. People shouldn't be afraid to go to work in their workplace. And, like, that's just unacceptable. That's unacceptable behavior in a workplace. I don't care if you're an entertainer. I don't care if you think that you're king of the jocks. It's unacceptable in a workplace to threaten harm to one of your coworkers or your colleagues or whatever you want to call the reporter. It's unacceptable. End of story.
Yeah. As for the who's running the Mets and who's making the decisions, it's funny. I rewatched Moneyball not too long ago. And it's like the opposite of, like, Billy Beane's approach to games, where he, like, basically went and worked out. In the film, he's shown, like, going to the gym and, like, doing, like, leg curls.
I mean,
with the game on in the background, because he just can't handle kind of, like,
Billy,
the in-game decisions.
Right, yeah, he's the opposite. Right.
And it's just, like, to hear that this guy's, like, calling from his office, making, like, you know, start this guy, don't pull DeGrom, we don't want him getting hurt.
Yeah, I mean, like, the weird thing about that is that Van Wagenen was DeGrom's agent. So there's a little bit of weirdness to that. But he also wouldn't be the first GM to micromanage from his office, right? Like, there's been reports that Theo Epstein does it, that the front office management in Tampa has done it at different points in time, that Brian Cashman pretty much does it for the Yankees right now. So, like, it's not unprecedented. It's just, you know, the way that Mickey Callaway is handling it is ridiculous and unacceptable.
Well, it's also compounded that the Mets is literally just a circus right now.
And they shouldn't be.
So it just,
they shouldn't
it just
be. They have a roster
unraveling.
That should be competing.
Yes, of course, right? And so the expectations were there, and they have embedded, and then it's in New York. In New York, everything's going to get full-blown, exposed, blown up, and this is what happens. It's the pressure cooker, and it's, you know, then they shouldn't have hired this guy. Then they shouldn't have this guy as leading the team, right? If he can't handle it, it seems pretty obvious here. They're going nowhere fast, and you might want to right the ship. Hey, other teams have done it in other leagues, and you know, they've gone on to actually win championships midstream, right? So I'm not too sure what the Mets are waiting for. They want another blow up before this. I don't know what they're waiting for here. I mean, they want to try and save a season or do something positive. Maybe they might want to look at what they've got as personnel, but it's crazy.
Well, they currently sit 11 games behind Atlanta in the National League East and 6.5 out of the wild card. It's not a foregone conclusion, but with the way that the folks in the front office and the way the management's handling things,
they're done.
I don't give a lot of hope. And I mean, this is, as Deadspin referred to it, the Mets were Metsing. Like, it's one of those franchises that just does this to themselves, right?
Hand, foot, Mets disease, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there are organizations in every league that just seem to, like, get in their own way.
Yeah.
And
Mets are, like, the king of those.
The Tipping Pitches podcast, which Brian and I are both fans of, you know, pointed out, like, this is a top-down, like, organizational problem, right? Like,
right, from the Wilpons all the way down.
Like, the Wilpons are at the top of that pyramid, and I use that specifically as the imagery.
That's very good.
Everything flows down from there, and if it's sour up top, it's not going to be tasty down at the bottom.
Yeah, what's the saying? Turtles all the way down? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, that's the Mets. The Mets are turtles all the way down.
I mean, it's only by the grace of God that Miami is in the same division and is a bigger tire fire.
Blessed Jeter. Real
quick before they go here, I just wanted to say, because I can't be on next week because I'll be traveling, but thumbs down, pour one out, whatever, but the Nationals, how dare they have an Expos day?
I saw that, and I texted it to him as soon as I saw the thing.
I texted it to Zook, and Zook's like, no, they can't really be doing this. I'm like,
this is unbelievable. All the positive stuff, and maybe the Expos possibly coming back one day, whatever. Do not, why ruin this? Stop it. The Nationals, just do not have anything to do with the Expos. You're not the Expos. Stop it. Well, that's all I have to say. I get it.
Since you're on the phone and can't see us in the booth, Brian is wearing an Expos hat. I'm wearing a Rays hat. Both kind of ostensibly in your honor.
Very good. I appreciate
it's,
that.
It's not tipping our caps. It's not pouring one out. I think it's for you with this Expos National thing. It's more flipping a middle finger. But we will leave it at that. We will invite you to come back. Brian and I will be here next Friday, even if Zook is absent or on the IL that day. Stick around for Democracy Now. Have yourselves a great long weekend.
Happy Canada Day.
Yes, happy Canada Day.